Hello and welcome to Formation, a weekly conversation for followers of Jesus. My name is Shannon Moore and I am here with
Kara Watts
and
Renee Hoke. Hi.
Hello, everybody. We are continuing our weekly conversations about fierce women. We are having a sermon series, a worship series here at University Christian Church in Fort Worth titled Fierce, and we are each week in worship talking about a different woman that we find
women
in the scripture,
women
in scripture, and it's been really refreshing. We've looked at several women from the Old Testament. Last week, we looked at a couple of women that Jesus encountered in the New Testament, and today we're going to be looking at Mary Magdalene or Mary Magdala. So this should be an interesting conversation. Preconceived
yes.
ideas about this woman in Scripture.
Probably this Mary has never been more in the spotlight than in the last 10 years or so.
Yeah.
I think feminist theology elevated that conversation.
The Da Vinci Code.
The Da Vinci Code.
I mean,
right.
The Gospel of Mary
which
was outside the canon, but interesting for a lot of people. So, I think we're really discovering Mary and the Pope. You know what the Pope did?
I don't.
The Pope elevated the saint day for Mary Magdalene from the level of a liturgical memorial to a feast day.
Oh, wow.
That's a big deal.
Way up. Francis did that.
Was that in recent
years? July 22nd. That's the day that it celebrated.
Okay.
Yeah, in recent year, 2016, elevated the liturgical memory of Mary on July 22nd to a feast and declared that she would now be referred as the Apostle of the Apostles.
I kind of like that.
She got a promotion.
Impressive. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're going to look at a couple of different scriptures today. The first is one that will be talked about in worship this week at UCC, but you don't necessarily have to, be at UCC in order to follow along with these discussions.
You just need a Bible.
You just need a Bible, or if you're driving, to just have ears to hear.
This is such a safety program.
It really is. I'm always very worried about that.
I don't
it's an epidemic of people pulling their Bibles out while they're driving.
They're trying to drive. I'm not sure that is true.
Maybe we should shoot for that epidemic. That would be what we should go for.
Kara, would you read for us? Let's look at Luke chapter 8, just the first three verses of that chapter. Okay.
Soon afterwards, he went on through cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, as well as some women who had been cured of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Herod's steward, Chuza, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them and out of their resources.
Okay.
How would you feel if somebody was talking about a trip that you took, and the one thing they pointed out about you were the demons that had been driven out of you?
Paid for the trip.
Yes. They paid their own way, and they had previously suffered with demons.
And they paid for the disciples as well.
Jesus. Sounds like they helped support.
And the lead story was that they had demons.
Some women. This just makes me mad. I'm sorry. It's so dismissive.
It is so dismissive.
Mary mentioned 12 times in the Gospels, in all of the Gospels, mentioned as a witness to the crucifixion, a witness to, one of the first witnesses
to
the resurrection.
Which we'll talk about here shortly.
Such an important person in the ministry of Jesus in the early part of the church. So I don't care for this 3 sentences of, by the way, she used to have some problems. We don't talk about that anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, what else do we know about Mary Magdalene?
We think there was a little bit. One of the things that I found was Mary was definitely elevated in Gnostic texts, which is one of the heresies of early Christianity. And there was the feeling in some of that writing that there was a rivalry between, maybe not on Mary's part, but that Peter definitely felt threatened by Mary. Doesn't that sound like a human condition?
I think that tracks.
Right. Yeah.
Knowing, you know, how Peter's described in the Gospels.
Right. And particularly when we see here that Mary is listed with what we might consider some elite names, some people who had some resources as well. And
right.
I don't know that that was the case.
Yes,
For Peter.
For the 12, probably yeah. not.
They were relying
resources.
On these people. And so there might have been what we would consider at the time a very unequal power situation.
If we think about what we know about jealousy and, you know, striving to get the spotlight in the human nature of what surrounded Jesus in his public ministry, of course there would be pushing and pulling and some resentfulness, everybody wanting to get closer to Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I think we now believe that Mary was a disciple of his, mm-hmm. not just the funding
right.
arm of the
she
ministry, but that
she was there. Beloved.
She was a primary figure. And so we live in a time when we know more about Mary and we can pay attention to her in a different way.
Well, and haven't you always sort of been told or hasn't been implied that she was, you know, a sexual
character? You know who started that?
Character.
Glad you brought that up. Pope Gregory.
Greg.
In 591. And what he did was conflate this Luke 8 text with the woman who washed Jesus' feet with her hair.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That comes right before. The story right before what we just read is about the woman who anointed Jesus with perfume mm-hmm. and dried his feet with her hair. And so Pope Gregory, who wasn't paying attention, just went, well, clearly that's the same woman.
Well, that's her. Yeah.
So from 591, the idea that Mary Magdalene was a prostitute was sent out there. So see, she has been mistreated in so many ways.
Right. And, yeah, that's just not right, Greg.
So I think Pope Francis was trying to fix what Pope Gregory had messed up centuries before.
Well, good for him. Yeah. I mean,
that's a...
That's a big,
a powerful
that's a big
move,
deal.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure all of us heard sermons where Mary was.
That's just how
this
she was
woman.
Named.
Yes.
I mean, not even.
Right.
It, even if it hadn't. I mean, that doesn't have anything to do with the story ever. And yet, like.
That's what
sticks. That's what comes out from that.
It's so interesting to me. I've always been fascinated by how we conflate the Christmas mm-hmm. stories. But as we have had these discussions over these past few months, as the three of us have been working together on this formation, it astounds me how often that happens in other texts as well, and the things that we assume and the things that we just...
Things that we heard in sermons.
Or in Sunday school.
Right.
Right.
Things that were the way something was taught in the past. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that we get to be more thoughtful now and go back and go, now, is that here in Scripture? Or is that from some outside source? And what source is it? And
right.
do we want to give it that much weight?
Right.
Well, I say we skip over to John.
Forget about Luke 8. That's what I say.
It's a tough introduction, but this is a beautiful story.
We don't want
that
Renee
we see
mad
in the Gospel of John.
When we talk about Mary.
So let's read some happy Marys. It's not really
hardly,
a happy story, but it's
I
a different story.
I hardly approve of John chapter 20.
Well, we're going to read the first two verses. I'll read this for us. This is on the first day of the week after Jesus had been crucified on Friday. This was Easter, the first Easter Sunday morning, John chapter 20. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." And so then we have Peter and the other disciple.
Having a race.
Mm-hmm. I get there first. Yeah, but I went in first. Mm-hmm. Back to Peter's jealousy.
Yes, clearly.
And then, so they see that the cloths are there, but he's not there. So, one of you, I guess you haven't read scripture yet. Renee, will you pick up at verse 10?
Verse 10, then the disciples returned to their homes, but Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "They have taken away my Lord. I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, Mary said to him, "Sir, if you had carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She returned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. I love that recognition by voice. Mm-hmm.
Is that the thing that stands out to you the most?
So personal. I don't, you know, we have lots of resurrection stories where people are looking at Jesus, but they're not quite sure it's Jesus.
And we've talked before.
The risen Christ had a different look.
Must have looked
in some way. But when he said her name, she knew exactly who it was. Mm-hmm. And I feel this warm friendship in that moment. She's so distraught by her grief and just trying to make some sense and do the right thing for the body of Jesus. And then she hears him say her name. Mm-hmm. And I just think this is such a lovely scene. In all of the jarring news of the resurrection, this is so personal. Mm-hmm. And it's about two people who have a deep friendship. And the fact that he is there and he is calling her by name. I love it. Yeah.
Well, and just after that, I mean, she must embrace him in some way. Because right after that, he says, "Don't touch me.
Like, don't hold on to me.
You've got to let me go. But I have a job for you. I have a role for you." I mean, Mary was the one that brought the story of Jesus' resurrection to all. It's just remarable.
It's perfect that he gave her a job.
Yes.
A task.
Yes.
She would do anything.
Right.
I think that relationship, she would have done anything mm-hmm. for him. And what she needed now, give me a job to do.
Right.
Give me something to do.
And he said, "Go and tell the others," mm-hmm. you know, what's happened. And it says that she does. And "I've seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. So as we have also said before, she's the first evangelist, right. The first teller of this mm-hmm. good news, especially according to John. The angels that spoke to her, "Why are you crying?" I don't know, for some reason that stands out to me. It's another one of those situations where one of these heavenly beings asks a question that I think doesn't make any sense. Well, why, of course I'm crying.
The
person I came looking for, his body is missing.
They're just trying to help.
You think?
Yes.
I know. The angels, they often do ask strange questions. Mm-hmm. I wonder what that...
You're looking for the living among the dead, or, you know, there's normally, I mean, in multiple stories.
Yeah.
And, of course, my favorite is the ascension, when why are you looking it up? Because he just flew up to the sky. I've said that before, too. But this is another one of these strange questions to me. As if she should have known already. Well, maybe that's what they were implying. He had said, that "I will rise."
There's no need to be crying.
That they know.
Yeah.
And don't understand that
she doesn't.
That she doesn't.
No.
Yeah.
That makes a little more sense. But I like this exchange. Mm-hmm.
I do too.
That heavenly beings are there.
And they aren't there at the beginning. To me, that's what really stands out in this story as well. She goes to that tomb by herself.
Brave,
she is the
fierce.
Only one. She waits until the end of the Sabbath. She shows up by herself, mm-hmm. sees that the stone is gone, and then runs to the disciples. And clearly, is able to get their attention.
Who are probably hiding.
Right. Who are, you know, she knows where they are. Mm-hmm. She gets to them. I mean, all of that leads us to recognize the disciple of disciples.
Yeah.
That she knew where to go and what to do.
In the leadership role in a lot of ways.
And who to tell.
Resurrection stories, it seems like.
And here they don't question her. Is it in Luke where it's they're perplexed or they don't believe her?
Or they think it's foolish.
Here they come right there and see for themselves. But
and the angels didn't appear to the men.
No. And they don't stay. Clearly, because they're not there when the angels do appear.
No, they're gone. They've
Mary
gone back.
Mary stood weeping.
And she stayed.
Mm-hmm. I think we love this story because it's okay for Mary to cry. I guess we don't want to see the men crying and sobbing and having, you know, an episode. But it just it allows us all to be in this moment.
Well, it's such a tender. I mean, everything about it is tender, from her response to her her sort of desperation and willing to go wherever he is.
Right.
I'll go get him. Mm-hmm. And she didn't say, I'll get the guys to help me. No. I'll go get him myself.
Just tell me where he is.
Tell me where he is.
If you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him. I will take him away. Mm-hmm. Just to the last, up until the last ritual of laying somebody to rest, she was willing to be part of that.
Absolutely. And there's just,
and you know,
such
she was just as
that.
Confused as the disciples were about what was going to happen next and how, you know, what kind of danger they were in. And I mean, she was human but was propelled forward to take some action.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
On behalf of Jesus.
And then the voice, she hears the voice. She knows. It's beautiful.
I love it. I love her. And I think reading the first three verses of Luke chapter 8 doesn't give us quite enough about this amazing character in Scripture. And if we think about images and examples for young women today to follow, this is a fierce woman.
Mm-hmm.
If we think of only that chapter 8, or at least start at that chapter 8, who has overcome some things?
Yes.
You know, that wasn't the end of the story. She becomes an incredibly influential part of Jesus' world while he was living.
And I think a reminder to all of us that everybody has different, there are different levels, layers to people than meets the eye. And if we don't take the time to learn more about people, we just get we make up our mind about a first impression or what somebody else told us.
Pope Gregory. There's
more, there's more to people than, to everybody, than meets the eye. So
she didn't have a book in Scripture. Wouldn't it have been great if alongside Paul we had what Mary wrote in the years to come as the church was being established.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be great? Now, she was mentioned in the upper room in Acts, wasn't she? Wasn't she mentioned as one of the people there or for the ascension? She's mentioned someplace else.
I can't remember.
We need to find all of those 12 places
right.
in the Gospels.
Well, and there's also in some non-canonical Gospels books where she is mentioned as well. Mm-hmm. And so there are other places where people can garner information about who she was.
Well, we would love to hear from you. If you had a similar experience that we all did with preconceived notions about Mary or other things that you thought about Mary, or maybe you hadn't considered her at all, we would love to hear from you. We love to get emails from folks who listen to or watch Formation. Our email address is formation@ucccftw.com. And we're here each week with another discussion about Scripture. It's
a few more
pleasure.
Fierce women to go.
Yep. Then we'll have some standalone texts, and who knows what we'll do next.
Who knows? We could even get suggestions.
Would love that, too.
That'd be great.
To talk about with us.
So hope you have a great week, and we'll talk to you next time.